Today's psalm reading is Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be moved. God will help it when the morning dawns. The nations are in an uproar. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Come, behold the works of the Lord. See what desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge.
So last week I preached on the spiritual practice of lament, which is a common theme in the Psalms. And you see, it's different than just complaining. Lament is acknowledging the swirling depth of brokenness in our world, the sources of grief in our world that are a part of our everyday life. And lament is acknowledging those things and then sitting with it for a while. Not shoving it away, but to sit and to hold it for a moment, and then to place it into God's hands. It's lifting up to God what weighs heavy on us and the world around us. And it even includes perhaps our frustration and anger. Our lament may include choice words for God and the demand to act, as we saw last week in our psalm. But the key difference is that lament is done in a relationship of trust with God. We can be honest with God because God actually longs to hear the longings of our hearts. And we trust not only that God hears our laments, we trust and believe that God still reigns, that God's promises are eternal, that Jesus' triumph over sin and death and all of that separates us from God and each other, that triumph over that remains. It is trust that God's love and power are greater than the world's chaos and despair. That is our hope. That is our hope as people of God. Psalm 46, which we selected today, is all about hope. And it begins with this declaration: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And then the psalmist uses this metaphorical language to talk about chaos. We will not fear though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. And you see, in ancient times, as maybe in now, the mountains were this metaphorical symbol for stability and strength. So the psalmist is saying that even when what we consider to be most solid and most secure is shaken, when it's fallen and slid into the sea and is no longer, even then we will not fear, because God is there. God is our stability and our strength. The psalmist's imagery takes us back to the beginning, back to creation, where God brings order to those swirling, chaotic, primordial waters that are flowing over the formless void. God created light and put it opposite darkness, creating this rhythm of day and night. God separated the waters above the dome and below the dome, and so on and so on. Our Creator is in the business of bringing order to chaos. So even when the nations roar against one another and human-made kingdoms begin to totter, the Lord even then reigns. The psalmist says the Lord brings wars to cease, brings to nothing the walls and the fortresses that we build for ourselves. This psalm makes clear that wherever God is in the world will not crumble and fall. God dwells with us. And then the psalmist's words change in tone. They're meant to bring comfort and courage to people. And God says, "Be still. Be still and know that I am God." Now, I think we typically hear these verses and imagine becoming still in some sort of like Zen-like yoga posture, right? Maybe humming as we do that. And that is one way to maybe interpret this verse. But I think when we consider the context of the psalm, I think it takes on a different meaning. Because you see, the Hebrew word for be still is rapha. And it has this connotation of letting go, releasing one's grasp. So amongst the chaos of the earth, the shaking, the waves roaring, the kingdoms tottering, in the midst of all of that, God says, let go. Let go. Jewish scholar Robert Alter says, it's an injunction to cease from armed struggle, to unclench the warrior's fist. It's when things are not going well, when brokenness and grief and injustice are swirling around us, when the world seems to be crumbling around us, when the light is dimmest, it's then that God says, let go. Let go and trust. Know that I am God, Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. Do not be afraid. Lamenting to God is lifting up our grief and our wounds, even our anger, to God. And when we put them into God's hands, we are letting go of our anxiety and fear. We're letting go of our impulse to preserve ourselves by blaming and scapegoating others, or worse, dehumanizing others. We are letting go. We can let go because our hope is not in how well we triumph over other people. Our hope is in God and what God has accomplished in Christ Jesus. Lament leads to hope. Lament leads to hope. And the Apostle Paul put it this way in Romans. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to his grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. So, my friends, authentic, genuine hope is not passive. Hope in God's love and power is not a spectator sport. Hope leads to action. Why else would anyone be willing to suffer for what they believe in? Why would anyone willingly suffer for someone else? The answer is hope. It's hope. I like to think that Jesus had hope. And in his first sermon, which we heard in our first reading, in his first sermon in the synagogue, he reads from Isaiah, which is all about hope. Jesus says to the people gathered there, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." This is the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel, pure. God's work in the world always brings freedom, healing, and life. That's how you know it's the gospel. Freedom, healing, and life. That's what makes it good news. And I am reminded this week of the times in our history where Christians were so full of hope because of how they understood their faith that they committed themselves to the cause of freedom and justice. This week, on the 19th, we celebrate in this country Juneteenth, commemorating when Union troops marched into Galveston to end slavery, enforcing the Emancipation Proclamation that was issued 2.5 years prior. And this summer, we also commemorate the 70th anniversary of the Supreme Court's ruling in Brown versus Board of Education, determining that racial segregation in public schools is unconstitutional. And it's the 60th anniversary of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, forbidding discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. Martin Luther King Jr., he himself a pastor, and many other Christians willingly suffered and even died for this progress because they were people of hope. They were people of hope who understood God's vision for humanity. They lamented the brokenness and injustice in their time. They lifted it up to God, and then their hope in God's power and love compelled them to act. So all this is to say, my friends, is that hope in God's love and strength is a powerful thing. Because Jesus has overcome all sin and death, we have no reason to fear, but every reason to hope. And we need more hope in this world, don't we? Amen? So when the mountains tremble and the kingdoms totter, the church is called to be a voice of hope and love. We are called to be people committed to the cause of God's freedom, healing, and life for our neighbors and our community and all that we come into contact with, and especially for people who live on the margins. As St. Paul said, let us not grow weary in doing good. Thanks be to God. Amen.